I was thinking about the word faith. We spoke about it in detail this morning, bringing in Hebrews 11, the evidence of things not seen. And we've spoke of that faith, and we've seen that even accepting and the hand of God in creation. He spoke and it stood fast. And we believe that because he said it. But now what the apostle is doing is he's bringing it down to our level. And he's saying to you and he's saying to me, you claim to have faith. What is the evidence of what is unseen in your life? Where is that evidence that is lived out in your life and mine? You have faith? I can't see your faith. You show me your faith by what is lived out in your lives, your daily life, the things that you are participating in, the things that are motivating you. And here, he says in verse 11, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy lives of holiness and godliness? When Peter spoke to us of his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, we learned it is what he saw and what he heard. And the end result is, it was Christ that was before him. This is my beloved Son. When we saw Lot, it was the same thing. If you look there carefully, you read what he saw and what he heard. But now he was in the world, and it tormented his righteous soul. Now we come right back, full circle again, and it's what are we seeing and what are we hearing? So when we think of lives of holiness, what is a life of holiness, and how do I determine what a life of holiness is? Do I look at, in this horizontal direction, at you and I, at each other? Do we look at each other and see a standard that would be raised that would be a life of holiness? I'm going to say I think not. We don't look at one another. Look at what the apostle has brought before us in this entire letter. There's false teachers. There's all kinds of things that are coming in. Beware of them. But if I want a standard that is set before me that will give me a guide for a life of holiness, I'm not looking horizontally. I have to look vertically. And I must look to where Christ is in the glory, seated at the Father's right hand. Then when I have Christ before me and I'm looking up, I can't look this way. I'm looking up and I see him. I see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see there, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, the Father saying of his Son. And as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in what he has done, as I'm looking there, there's the standard for my life of holiness. Then it says, in our lives of holiness and godliness, and that has been expressed to us already, is bringing God into all of our circumstances in this life here and giving honor to him. This is the horizontal plane. So as I'm looking vertically, this gives me the energy, the spiritual energy, in looking at Christ in the glory, to have a life of godliness that's in this life horizontally that is going to glorify him. And not be the standard that is being set by each other. Christ is the standard, and now my life will represent him as being faithful to him in this world that has rejected him.
I think that what would help us to understand what's being talked about here is if we go back to Lot and draw the contrast between Lot and Abraham. Because I think where their eyes were is very important, and it'll help us understand this. Because Lot's eyes were very much in this very present his present circumstances, and he saw the city, and he, you know, saw it would be safe there, and he had no mind for the destruction that was coming. And really, he only started talking about destruction once it was upon them, really. And he had no practical testimony to warn them of. And then we have Abraham, who is looking off for a city. And I think that that's the character that this verse is calling us to be, is we're to be looking towards something else. We're not to be looking at what is right in front of us. We're to be looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. That's what we're looking for. To have, and I think that, again, it's the really the pilgrim character that we're supposed to have, that we're strangers in this world. We're, this world is, it's not our home. The elements themselves will be burned up. There is literally nothing that will be left of this world. So why would I ever want to try and lay stakes here? Because nothing I do for this world will matter towards this earth. So it's really, so there's that, really that needs to be that I'm looking off into something. And really, I'm looking off, and as the verses continue, into the day of God, until the eternal state. I'm looking even past the day of the Lord. I'm looking toward the day of God when everything is as it should be. And that determines my the kind of person I ought to be.
Speaking of Christ as the example, so we've been, just to summarize somewhat, we've been saying that that knowing what's going to happen in the future should impact the way I conduct my life here. I think we are understanding.
Speak up a little bit.
Sorry. Knowing what's going to happen in the future should change or should control the way I would conduct myself here. I was thinking of a correlating verse in the epistle to 1 John concerning the Lord, and speaking about what Brother John was bringing out with the Lord being the example. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the latter part of the verse says, "When he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is." And then John tells us that every man that has this hope, the fact that this hope being Christ, or the fact that we're going to be changed to be like him, purifies himself even as he is pure. So we have, knowing what's going to happen in the future should impact my life now. It should govern and control the way I would conduct myself. And then we have the other side, that knowing what I'm going to be, I'm going to be like the Lord. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be changed to be like him. Mm. And I've often thought, yes, we know that that's going to happen in a moment. But how much, if we just think about it this, from this application side, how much is the Lord going to have to change in my life to make me like him in that moment? Yes, we know it's going to be like this. We're going to get new bodies. Mm. We're going to be like the Lord. But how much am I resembling him? How much work, if I can put it in that way, is he going to have to do to change me to be like him in that day? Am I reflecting him today? Again, we mentioned that he is the standard. Be ye holy, as I am holy, God would say. And we've been equipped. We mentioned this earlier. Life and godliness. He's given us all that pertains to life and godliness. We have all of the resources. We have all the capability of life and godliness, and we have it here repeated again in holy conduct or holy life and godliness. And it seems as though the Spirit of God is again linking these two things together, that our lives and godliness should go together. And the more I reflect him, the more pleasure I'm going to bring to him here. The more I know what's going to happen in the future, it's going to impact the way I live my life here. The more I know what I'm going to be, I'm going to be like him, the one that glorified God, the one that brought, that ever did his will and his delight daily. He was his delight. Am I that today here for the Lord? Am I resembling him? Again, I'm going to be changed in a moment. I'm going to be like him. So knowing that I have that hope, everyone purifies himself, even as he, the Lord Jesus, is pure.